the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Oh my God,
I'm your host, Christine Lightning.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I am your host, Ala Khaled.
Christine, and with me is my friend.
That's not... Wow, listen to me.
What? Is it not fair? It's not fair?
She timed it, so I was taking a sip. I almost choked on my bubbly.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. This is Chester C, and we are about
to... Chester, you're not in yet. Okay, we're going to introduce you. Just drink your bubbly.
This guest,
he's going to be the death of me.
By the way, can we get sponsored by bubbly water? Because I'm obsessed with this bubbly water.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's really good.
I mean, I'm still...
Listen,
Chester, we haven't introduced you yet. Here's the deal, dude. This is our show.
You don't exist yet.
Okay, thanks. So anyways, yes, I still am a fan of the La Croix
is how you're supposed to say it, according to What's-Her-Face on Southern Charm. By the way, are you watching Southern Charm?
Hello?
I watched it last night.
I died.
I want to kill Ashley. She is such a bitch.
I don't want to use the Samantha B word, but she is.
No, she is. She's just a straight up bitch. I'll use it.
No, that's not what Samantha B said.
Oh.
She called Ivanka.
Oh, yeah. No, I gotcha.
But yes, Southern Charm, but I have to tell you, it is the best season of
ever,
all time.
Ever. It's so good.
I was going to call you yesterday because I was like, please tell me you've watched Southern Charm. It's so good.
I know. I'm really into it. But Redhead. Can someone fix her iPhone screen, please?
No,
every time
I
get to her,
It makes you want to love her more only because you feel sorry for her.
She's got she doesn't have a Range Rover and she has a shattered iPhone screen.
And she barely gets visitation with her kids.
He's a nightmare.
He's a drunk.
He's a drunk nightmare with a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. He's old
it's
money.
So clear.
Yeah.
Ugh, Thomas Ravenel.
She's a nightmare. I hope Ashley doesn't get pregnant.
Oh, God, get her off the show. You know when Shep can't be nice to someone?
Oh, Shep can't stand her.
Why? How could you?
She's a nightmare.
I know.
But
you can't have her
get off the show because then what?
No, it's great drama. Mm-hmm. It's great. Okay, sorry. We had a tangent. I want to tell you where I just came from today.
Go ahead.
So I went to this beauty summit. It was super fun, actually. I went with my neighbor, Vanessa Ray.
Do they give you tips?
How
I'm asking.
Dare you? There were all kinds of like products, the natural wellness, like all that kind of vegan. You would hate it.
Did you get tips?
I got a few tips. Yeah,
like
sure.
Like for the under the eyes.
Oh my! It was not like that.
Oh, okay.
It's more like beauty from the inside out. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but I did get a B12 shot. They were giving B12 shots and IVs.
Is that healthy?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, is it to do it in like a public place? I mean, are these people registered?
They had on gloves.
Okay.
They were like registered people.
I mean,
yeah. I didn't do the IV.
Where was it? Like at a restaurant?
Beverly Hilton.
Oh, at a hotel?
Yes.
Oh.
It was outside of the Beverly Hilton.
Okay.
But there was another
That's
event.
Where Whitney died, by the way.
Oh, well, bring it back. Hashtag.
I'm just saying Whitney died there.
Hashtag something.
I hope she didn't get a
RIP.
B12 shot before
no,
the bathtub.
I don't think that's what Whitney was doing in
okay,
the bathtub.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Speaking of. We were talking about bitches earlier. I went to Starbucks on the way here.
Okay.
Because I just felt like I needed a jolt because of our next guest. I really want to get into it with
him. Okay.
And it was at that Ralph's, that new Ralph's that's by your house on Ventura.
The one we wanted to go gift bags from when it opened.
I wanted to go to the opening for gift
bags. There was no red carpet at the Ralph's. Yes.
Because it's a gorgeous Ralph's.
It's a beautiful Ralph's.
It's a beautiful Ralph's. So I went to the Starbucks there, and the girl that was making the drinks, the barista, had a friend who was standing on the outside of where you receive your drink, who's just chit-chatting with her, and she's the only barista making drinks, and she's just chit-chatting, but making drinks at the same time, but not really focusing on the drinks.
Okay.
And I'm literally like... You know, at my patience level, I'm like...
Very thin.
Especially, I don't like to be late. So I was like...
Sure.
I want to get here on time, even though you are late.
Well,
I want
valets.
Right.
I'm going to blame
B12.
It on the valets.
So then... So she keeps chit-chatting, and I look at the other customer, and at one point, I literally was like I hit the counter, because I was like getting pissed. And then I
had
like,
you already ordered your drink
I ordered my drink. Okay. I'm waiting for her to fucking make it, right?
Got it.
So he's continuously chatting with her. And then she turns to everyone. Now there's like eight people waiting for drinks. She turns to everyone. She goes, thanks for your patience, guys. And I'm like going, oh my God. So she gets to my drink and I literally rip it out of her hands. And I look at the guy and I go, you should probably leave her alone so she can get to fucking work.
Wow.
And then the girl goes, and I go, yeah. And then I just walked right out. I was so fucking pissed. I was
wow.
Like,
yeah. Slow your roll. Yeah. Dude, it's a Saturday.
I don't care. It's like, come on, guys. People are waiting.
Another okay, that's I, all you have to say about that.
Another
that's,
thing I want to give a plug to before okay. we move on is I'm playing HQ and Cash Show.
Yep.
I'm obsessed with going?
It. How's that going?
So far I've won like 48 cents on Cash Show. I can't cash out to my PayPal account until I win $10, but I need a bunch of free lives. So I'd like to give out my code to everyone so that they could sign up and get me some free lives. And they'll get free lives
okay,
too.
Okay, get on with it.
Just let me just, I don't let me know just what this find is. It real
quick. By the way, I just want to comment while you're looking for your code. I think you really have a problem. I think that you are, okay, well, yeah, I think that you mistreat your baristas.
No, I'm very specific with my baristas.
You're specific, but in a mean way.
No, my okay, so my code for Cash Show is S as in Sam, Q as in Queen, E as in Ethel, 2, B as in Boy, 2. SQE2B2.
No one cares.
That's my Cash Show. Now, hold on, let me get my HQ.
No one's going to do this.
Yeah, that, please, sign up with my code, please, guys.
You are literally hold trying on. To make $10. Okay, you're working hold so on. Hard hold to on. Make $10. Hold on. I will give you $10 hold to on. Stop talking.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. So my HQ code is R as in Robert, O as in Orlando, T as in Tom, C as in Cat, A as in Apple, the number one. That's Rotka1, R-O-T-C-A-1.
I can't with you. Okay. I really can't. Okay, wait. One more thing before we bring in
our
guest.
That was HQ. Go ahead.
Because I know that you, I feel like you have rage against the baristas.
Yep.
We've talked about my road rage.
Right.
Okay.
You have it.
Okay. I don't have it when my daughter's in the car, I promise you. I am a much more genteel driver.
Okay. That's when why your daughter cusses.
No, she doesn't.
That's why when I walk in, when she sees a car, she goes, move out of my way.
Shut up. She doesn't. But I had some major rage the other day. And I think it was more like, my problem is never other people, yes, being stupid, but it's more people being discourteous and being unsafe. And that's always my issue. Like when people are zigzagging and just cutting you off and like have no like empathy for the fact that they might be putting your life in danger, that's when I get crazy. Literally go driving ahead. Down my street, okay? The other morning, maybe it's just after 8. My daughter's not with me in the car. I'm driving down the street. We know we live on a hill, so it's very curvy and you have to go slow because you've driven up here. You literally can't see what's coming around the corner. Right. So common sense and safety would tell you that you should be going maybe 10 to 15 miles an hour, which is, by the way, the speed limit. I pull out of my driveway. I start down the hill. By the time I get maybe 2 houses away, there's a BMW on my ass. Like on my ass.
Yep.
And I'm like, ooh, okay, wow. Someone was coming down the hill real fast. I continue on my merry speed. You know, I'm going like 10, 15 miles an hour. At the bottom of the hill is a stop sign. So I stop at the stop sign. And this person can't handle that I stopped at the stop sign. Honks her horn. It's like, come on. I fucking got out of the car.
Good. Pregnant
stopped,
and all.
Pregnant at all. Uh-huh. Got out of the
Do
car.
Do you hold your belly?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And I walked up to her window.
You walked up.
She's in the car with her daughter.
Does
who
she
looks
roll down?
Mortified.
Does she roll it down?
Her window was already halfway down.
Good.
And she like got scared. She like started to back her car up.
She
like,
saw a what, pregnant woman.
Like what the fuck did she think I was going to do? She saw Rip her out of her car?
She saw a pregnant woman.
And I went, let me tell you something right now. And I said, you need to slow your roll. Okay. It's like the speed limit on the street is 15 miles an hour. She's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Like freaking the fuck out at me. Mm-hmm. She's like, go, move your car, go. And then she starts to like kind of maneuver her car like around. Mm-hmm. Like she's just going to keep going. I go, oh, really? You're going to hit me? You're going to hit a pregnant woman? Really?
Yeah.
You're going to play that game with me?
Yeah. Use the
and then I
card.
Like went back and got in my
Use
car
the
and like,
card. Good.
Yeah. And like drove away. I told this story to my husband. who cannot handle that I do things like this. He's like, you've got to stop doing this kind of stuff.
He's right.
I know. I should.
I feel like
be
you're telling
that.
The audience the story only because you want to tell everyone that you live in the hills.
I don't. I want people to look out for this bitch in a white BMW with Rusnak plates. Okay, from the car dealership Rusnak. And if you see her wearing her stupid sweater around her shoulders, mm-hmm. you need to tell her to slow the fuck down because I've got your number, lady.
All right.
So that's my road rage.
Can we introduce our next guest?
Yes, please. Let's get on with it.
All right. So listen, I met this. Well, I met him through you, sort of.
No, you definitely did. So I did a show several years ago.
We did a show.
Yes, we did a show several years ago that was on the internet.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. On the Yum Yum F Network.
Yum Yum F Network.
Internet Icon.
Internet Icon. Two seasons strong.
Two seasons strong. I was one of the judges.
I was...
You were like one of the cast.
Yeah,
like
I was
cast.
Like, yeah, it was like
of utility actors.
Yeah, it was a reality show to find the next internet like YouTube star, superstar, influencer. I guess you would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was at a time where vlogging and that those weird videos where you're like, who are these people that are so popular? Like just are coming like out
well,
of nowhere.
Well, we were in like a different generation. We didn't.
Yeah, we
grow
were
up
like going
this.
To auditions.
Yeah, right. But there was a whole new crop of young, very you know, entrepreneurial kids
who had tech savvy, you know, equipment, their iPhone, and were creating like amazing short videos that were going viral.
So the host of our season two was the wonderful and lovely Chester C.
Chester C.
And Chester C is with us. Welcome, Chester C.
That is me.
Chester, you are an influencer, a YouTuber in your own right, mm-hmm. a musician.
Here's the thing about Chester right now, because I had a little while we were waiting for you because you were late.
Valets.
He's been evolving as a human being, I should say, right?
I mean, well, I think we all.
Well, because Chester, let's be fair, because when we first met you, you were Chester C. You were like, you know, like this, like personality, like, yeah, no, that's not the same person I'm talking to today. You were like, I was like, who the hell's this guy? And apparently you were some big, I mean, everyone knew who you were.
Well, I don't know if I was that big. I mean, one, I was one of the co-founders of the Yum Yum F Network. So I think it was easy to become the host. You know, I don't think it was because
Nepotism to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
I don't think I earned the role.
Well, I don't know because Andy Fickman directed it.
Yes,
and was one of the producers on it as mm-hmm. well. And we know him well, and I don't think he would have just said, "Oh, well, let him do it."
Like, no, I
got to be. I mean, you got to be talented to be you. Yeah. You were great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you were our Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That was definitely an era at the time.
I was the asshole on the show. I would sabotage those videos.
God, you are
to get airtime because I knew they'd have to like get the story behind it.
Who was it that you had? Okay, so for anyone who didn't see the show, I'm going to give you
season two.
You can find it on YouTube. I'll give you a quick rundown. So every episode, there would be a challenge, and we would give it would be like a challenge where you had to use certain props, or a challenge where you had to shoot in like a certain location. We would, you know, they'd pull a location out of a fishbowl, and they'd have to come up with something, write a script, shoot it, edit it, all like within 24 hours, come back the next day, show their videos, and then we would judge them. And
sometimes in less than 24 hours, sometimes that day.
And the worst video would go home, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the end, there was a cash prize and, you know, equipment, blah, blah, blah. So there was this one, contestant we had who Allah ended up working with several times because they would need utility actors. So different actors would come in and they'd pull different people to play different parts.
I was one of the most popular actors to pick from.
You were really into it.
I was into it.
But then you got in a fight
and
with
And I wanted to win. I'm very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to win. I got in a fight with a guy because he gave me a line reading.
Yeah,
and I lost my shit like on camera because as an actor, I'm like, I'll do my job. You do yours. Now there's a way to manipulate an actor to get it to be done the way you want it to be done, but don't give us a line reading, like especially when I'm doing you a favor.
Like, that's a big, I mean, that's such a common early director mistake, though. That's,
you know, well, he learned fast. I mean, I think I brought him to tears.
Scared of you.
Yeah, he was scared, and it turned into a whole thing.
Oh, God.
That was a two-parter, I think.
Yeah. You just love the reality. I think if you could be on a reality show, you would be
100%.
Just in your 100%. Element. All right, let's get back to Chester. So, Chester.
How many followers do you have, Chester?
I don't know.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not.
You know you're checking
up.
every afternoon.
No, I really don't know. And this is the truth. If I were to, if you were to look at, I haven't done this, but if you were to look at it for the last 3 years, it's definitely been like the downward.
People are unfollowing you.
Yes, I'm not growing.
Well, okay, no, but
you're like, then why are you on our podcast?
Yeah, but no. Well, to be honest with you, I here's the reason why Chester's here, by the way, because of me.
Well, your obsessions. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I'm obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the show 2 weeks ago, and I'm going. So the challenges on Drag Race is they have to make over these influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And out comes Chester C. And the first thing I go, is that Chester C? I had to do a double take because you've aged.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no, I was like,
you look the same to me.
No, he looked older. I mean, yeah, he had aged because I was.
Well, we've all aged.
And plus, it's HD. Too,
I thought I'd almost
see that. Yeah, I understand.
So you had the crow's feet and
oh,
I
could
see the gray. And the,
no, it's true.
No, it was true. I was like, that's oh my happening. God, he's aged. Yeah. So I can be honest with it. Yeah, it's Chester C. Yeah. So, so I was like, holy shit, that's fucking Chester C. I love the show. I think, you know, what I love about Drag Race is that they took every sort of reality competition show and they spoofed it. In season one, and it ended up working, and now it's this huge phenomenon, right?
Yeah,
and everything they stand for, like even the Untucked show, is like that's like one of my favorites to see behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
I love that kind of stuff. Anyways, make a long story short, if you haven't seen this episode of Drag Race, stop the tape. So I won't tell you what happened, but here's what happens: Chester and Cracker,
Miss
Cracker, win the whole thing. Now, when you got made over.
Yeah,
I literally had to rewind it because you were so unrecognizable.
Oh my God, Chester.
So unrecognizable and beautiful, by the way.
You are crazy beautiful.
So I had to rewind it to make sure that Miss Cracker was your mentor.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is that Chester? And so you totally, like, when they showed you like walking in the heels for the first time,
yeah,
I was like, he's gonna fall on his face. There's no way. And then when you did the runway, it was like you outshined most of the actual contestants on the show.
Now, were you making it seem like you really couldn't walk, and then you're like, no. You know, I'm gonna be a ringer and I'm gonna do this.
No, well, I mean, no. Hold on, I gotta take a moment here. I know that I signed a few NDAs, so let me think what I'm actually allowed to say here. I'll say it this way. Well, because I know that I'm not allowed to talk about certain aspects of how the show's put
that's
together.
Fine.
But I'll say I wasn't putting anything on. No, that's without a doubt. I was genuinely thrown into a world that I, you know, I don't know much about. I'd only seen brief moments of the show from an ex-girlfriend watching it, and you know, the other contestants, I think, were much more excited about even just being a part of the show. For me, it was a sort of a different experience.
Well, no. And also, like, you could see as they were all doing their, like, walk for the first time in the heels, they were all showing off. And Chester was, like, literally, you're like, oh, he's going to break his ankle.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean, they were shanteeing. They were sashaying and shanteeing and the whole bit. They were, like, all over the place and twirling. And you're like, oh, Chester has no fucking chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And what was your drag name? Miss Candy?
Miss Cookie.
Yes.
Which, by the way, it was supposed to be Miss Lumpia.
Oh, my God. Because are you half Filipino? Yeah. Full
half,
Filipino?
Half Filipino.
I love a Lumpia.
Right?
Oh, my mouth is watering.
Well, but Rue, she goes, what's your drag name? I go, I think I want to go with Miss Lumpia. And she goes, Lumpia? I'm like, it's a Filipino food, and she goes, Lumpia? What do you say? What is this word you're saying? I hate it. Pick anyone.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. So,
how did they bring you on? Like, who contacted you? Can you say that?
I can't remember. It just sort of came. It was very quick. It was within under a couple of weeks.
And you had to shave your face, the whole bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think for me, and I think why, because I've noticed it's been pretty well received. And I think a big part of it was because of just embracing the moment.
Yeah,
you know. So,
sure.
Actually, to be honest with you, some of the messages I've been getting have been so touching. They've been very genuine.
Really?
Well, yeah, because a lot of some of the messages I've been seeing, and I'm
like,
took
what?
A moment.
Like what platform?
Just on Twitter, on Instagram and things.
How many followers do you have there?
I don't know. It's both of those are at the 200,000 something.
Okay.
So I don't know. Whatever. But that's
just so shy.
Well, no. Okay, well, YouTube was anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay. So the what am I saying? Oh yeah. The messages that were really sort of moving to me was it would say, you know, you don't realize how important it is to mm-hmm. see a straight guy
right.
sure.
sort of, you know, embrace this world and not be afraid of your femininity and whatnot. And for me, it's interesting because I was thinking about that and I didn't really think much of that at the moment. I think partly I grew up in California. I've done theater, studied theater at UCLA, very
right.
liberal. We're in LA.
Right.
I've had gay friends my entire life. It's not a thing I really think about how sort of, you know,
if
that's still a world
you,
where,
you know, Chester, we'd like you to be in, you know, this Shakespearean play and there's a moment in it where you're going to be dressing in drag. You'd be like, oh, yeah,
there's
no
thought. Yeah,
sure.
there's no thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had a moment. I was like, oh, my God, that's right. Like, there's still a huge portion of people that look at this and have negative feelings or
sure,
negative
yeah.
reactions. And yeah, I forget the bubble that we're in sometimes where, you know, we all collectively agree here in LA, like, or not even agree is not the right word. Like, we're not thinking in those ways. You know what
right.
I mean? That's just not a thought. And so, so that's been really nice.
That's
been really
very
nice.
Cool.
And that's very touching and on. Who cares? So here's my thing. Did you have to tuck?
Okay. So I didn't actually have to tuck because, I was wearing a skirt.
Were there guys tucking?
Yes. Yes. Before I was, you know, I was all for it. Like I said, I was, when I got thrown into that, I told myself, I'm going to do whatever.
Experience.
Yeah. I mean, I shaved my armpits. I shaved everything. And if they needed me to tuck, I was totally down. But because of the skirt, there was no need. I didn't need to.
How, I don't know if you can say this, but what's the day like? Like, how long is it? Is it a one day thing? Is it two days?
I film, and I don't know. I don't think this matters, but yeah, I filmed for 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long was the process from start to finish of the transformation?
Surprisingly fast. And
really?
I don't know if that's partly because Ms. Cookie is a freaking
Ms. Cracker.
No, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. My fault. Ms. Cracker is just a phenom when it comes to the makeup, but man, she just crushed that. It was a lot faster than I thought. Because you know that, you know, I've seen other transformations that are, you know, maybe it's a character or something along those lines, sit in the makeup chair for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
Christine Lincoln.
Well, I was so funny. I was literally just thinking to myself, like, my process is about when I'm working, it's about 90 minutes. I need about 90 minutes. That's usually how long it takes a hair and makeup artist to.
And that's to look like a normal person.
That's just
like,
to look like a normal person.
He's going like full glam,
yeah.
and shading. And
but
like,
granted, you're putting a wig on, which is also different because that wig has already been styled. And then you're
yeah.
doing all the prep and then you're putting it on. They actually have to make do with the feathers of that are on my head, which is harder.
Sure, sure.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Yeah.
That's why
you're
there are
comparing
certain
your hair and makeup more difficult than having Chester C, which we'll get a picture of, into a glam queen, like a beautiful one. Like, you're telling me that's it's harder?
I'm not saying it's harder. I'm saying I'm wondering actually which is more time consuming. I feel like mine might be longer. So
that,
sad.
That's okay.
Saying something.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if you got tips today.
Yeah.
To maybe speed up that. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Chester, I'm back. Listen. All right. So wait. So here's my problem with you right now.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
You don't want to give yourself any credit on like what you've like all the influencer stuff because like
no, it's not about a credit. I don't know.
Well, we had a conversation earlier before the podcast, and you were saying like at that time period, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was you were sort of like in the beginning of
yeah. So what was so exciting back then for me was that it felt like we were all pioneering something. You know, it was new, it was exciting.
Yeah.
The unknowns were. I mean. When we said Wild Wild West back then, it really was, you know, that was a good way to describe it. Today, I wouldn't use that term as much. It's sort of taken form and it's sort of flattened out a little bit.
Yeah.
We know that there's power and influence in controlling fans. Like there's power in having a fan base, an active fan base, an active following. You know, that's where the power is. And so back then, everyone was sort of striving to figure out what's the next move and how do you take advantage of this. Couple that with I just wanted to start making, you know, music and skits and things that I really enjoyed making. So I was doing what I love and it was working. And then we were figuring all this interesting stuff about the digital space at the same time. It was just a great era.
Look, take me to the beginning. Like, I just want to hear the process because, all right, you're like, oh, were you vlogging or just doing music stuff?
I was mostly a music guy. So most of it was original music. So,
right. So you would just put it on, you would sing a song, play a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was there a visual aspect with you more than you just playing? Was there a whole video? What was the.
If you're asking concept? About my climb or like how it all started it started with one song called Goddamn You're Beautiful that did well on MySpace. Right.
Oh my God. That's how long ago.
Yes. And then ended up getting some play in Australia and it made this list for love songs, like top love songs of the year that were played on this radio station. And so that was a moment where I started seeing that there was actual revenue that can be made from digital music sales. Like that's the air, you know, it was like, what is going on? I own the song outright. And I just put it out there on a thing called Snowcap at first before it was even on iTunes. And people were buying it every month, and that was blowing my mind. So eventually, I started putting out more and more original music and slowly started building a following around MySpace and then also YouTube. And I don't really know what the actual next big pivot point was, but there was just this growth of a fan base as I kept putting stuff out.
Yeah, so. Because Christine and I would comment during that time, like the internet icon time. And I don't mean to insult any like of these vloggers or anything like that, because we're at an age where it's a different demographic. It was just totally, we didn't get it. I don't know. I still don't know how to use the Instagram, right? You know, like the Facebook frightens me. Like that stuff. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to.
Grew up with like appointment television.
There was
no other way other than to program your VCR. Yeah. So
I had a Thomas guide. You know what I mean? Like it was.
I have a Thomas guide. Right.
So
I'm old enough for that too.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying, it was all newness, and then I was like, flabbergasted because I'm like, who's it? You mean this? And I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general, this idiot's vlogging. What's a vlog? You mean they're just talking into their like video on their phone for like 30 seconds and then posting it, and then they're getting like a million hits? Like I'm going, I don't understand it. Like they're not talking about anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure.
What?
It'd be sort of like a podcast that, you know, talked about whatever they wanted to talk about and
pretty much.
People started following that because they enjoyed those personalities. Something like that.
Yeah, but we don't do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just doesn't, yes. I'm like going.
It was just a different format than I think we ever, you know, were used to. And, you know, I got a lot of heat being a judge on that show.
Oh, they hated you.
They hated me. And it was because I wasn't a YouTuber. But the whole point was that I came from like a different side. I had, you know, created my own web series and I had written content. And so I came from more of like what I felt was like the storytelling side, mm-hmm. the like, you know, thinking about if you want to make something for YouTube, how do you then turn it into something bigger? How do you then be able to sell your series to Hulu or to Amazon or to Netflix eventually?
Yeah.
So trying to hone the skills of who these like little mini storytellers and movie makers would then be. And see, like the kids though, and you know, I thought that that was going to be really helpful. And like, but our audience is full of a lot of young people and they just decided they were going to troll me. And it was like really hurtful. I have never been so hurt by YouTube comments in my life.
I'm a clap backer.
I had to stop reading them.
I will say that. So I'm with you and I completely understand why that's the lens in which you were viewing things. There are a big portion of YouTubers, I think, specifically in that era, that we would hear that, right? And our response to that would be, but we're not thinking in those terms. We're thinking in the terms of how do we just build it here,
yes.
grow it here. I want to make the $100 million, you know, without needing to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that was where there's the sort of a conflict in that era between the mainstream media and definitely. The digital. I remember going into meetings too. I remember like MTV meeting or something along those lines and be pitching different concepts. And there was this ego. It was basically MTV thinking, all right, well, you definitely need us, right? Because we're MTV. And we're thinking, well, you definitely need us because you're a dying, you know, breed here, right?
Right. Dinosaur.
And that's how the conversations were going at that time. You know, so
interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought of that perspective. And there's like a lot of like now because it's so popular, right? So everyone's sort of, I mean, like a lot of television celebrities, like even Justin Bieber, let's say, he started out on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, and in his case, it was more about, it was a platform in which he was found by somebody, but that. But
right, yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Still, but yeah. So, but like there's a, so there's that one guy, and I forget his name, who was like really controversial because of that whole dead thing.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah.
Logan Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about, I mean, he's got this huge career, but he's sort of going on the...
Well, let's tell people, in case you don't know what the controversy was.
Right.
There's a YouTuber, Logan Paul, and he went into a cemetery in Japan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a famous cemetery
It's a wooded area, and it's where some people go to commit suicide. And he went into it, and he was wearing some kind of ridiculous outfit, some like weird hat. And it was just considered very disrespectful. And then there was actually like a dead body in there, and lots of kids saw it, and it was very disturbing.
Yeah, because he's got a kid following.
It's like a Pokemon. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was very...
it was distasteful.
Yeah, that's an understatement, but yeah, I think so, yeah. What's the question about him, though?
But my question is that, like, you took your influencing a certain way, and, like, now, is there a dangerous place now, because everyone's trying to become these big influencers, knowing the monetary value and the fame that goes along with it.
Of, like, taking it too far?
Taking it too far.
Of course. But that, yeah, of course.
Well, you're sort of like in the, like, I mean.
Well, I hate this conversation only because I've had it so many times. But
Never with you.
But one of the ways we would always sort of describe it or explain it, especially in the earlier stages of this, as it was evolving, where you would have people that were, we called content creators and we call influencers, a way to separate. And of course, there's spillover where people are a little bit of both. But essentially, you'd have someone that goes, okay, people are following the content that I create, right? They might not even know who you are. They might just, there's like a little mini series you've created, and they really, they trust in the quality of that series, where maybe it's like epic rap battles happening. And you're like, I want to tune into epic rap battles. That's where the following, that's why the following exists. Then you have people that just look straight into their camera and talk, and right. Whatever they say is the entertainment.
Except and
Marvels. Then if they want, sure. And then if they want to create a piece of content, well, they've got all of this fan base to support the content, despite the quality necessarily of the content. They're going to have a huge fan base that already is a fan of them. They're more of the influencer, as we call it. Today, you know, that's been, you know, pretty blurry. Now, you know, I think that there's been a lot of, it's sort of leaned, the entire space has leaned in favor of influencers, as a way to put it, in the way that I'm describing it and defining them and separating the two. And I don't know. I don't really know what the future looks like. It seems like it's always evolving and it's always changing. And I don't know.
As it is now for you, because you've said that it sort of felt like the Wild West, you know, when was that? 8 years ago? Something when we were. And now it's changed again and it's sort of flattened out a little bit. Like where you are right now, where do you see yourself going with your platforms in like the next 5-10 years?
Oh, well, like we were talking earlier, you know, just a couple of years ago, I literally took my cell phone, I put it in a box, and I didn't open up the box for 100 days.
100 days?
Yeah. And so
I just. How did people get in touch with you?
They didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. You mean even so, you didn't take phone calls even?
No.
How do you communicate?
I did eventually get a landline for my parents and, you know, but.
So you were olden days.
Did you have a pager?
Yeah, no. I did when I was in middle school. No. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I don't, you know, what I'm doing right now in this space, I've always kind of kept my toe in the space because one, it's always felt like home. But my reasoning for putting stuff up over the last few years has been much more about feeling like it was a necessity to stay involved and do stuff. Just recently, I mean, when I say recently, I mean like this month or so. And I think maybe partly because of the RuPaul show kind of igniting things a little bit for me, getting me excited to just do stuff again. I wanted to start creating things, but I wanted to create a rule that says I'm just not going to put anything out unless it's got that same sort of, like, I want to know that I'm actually excited about putting something out. It can't be because I have a deadline and I need to just get something out there. I want to start creating content that, oh, I really do want to share this thing, or I really want to cover that song. For so much of my YouTube musician career, a lot of it became, oh, I'm going to cover this hot song at the moment that I don't actually even like because it'll get the search engine. Yeah, it's
popular.
And I just, there's no room for that anymore. I'll cover songs that I like, that don't care if they're popular, and write my own original music and put stuff out. But it's got to be on the basis of that.
It's like a quality and passion over the quantity.
Yeah, everything was so like business driven for a while. You know, and it takes away.
That's where I'm at.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. You got to figure out what it is that you love doing that also just sort of is in line with smart business.
I want the cash. Dude. Yeah, I want that. I want the sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
My question for you though is like with YouTube, for instance, like were you? Obviously, you were one of their top people on YouTube, yeah, at that time?
I was one of the first 100 people to cross 1 million subscribers.
Jesus.
But that's 2013, 12 or 13 or something like that.
Okay. So, yeah. But so, like, do YouTube execs, like, call you and go, hey, Chester, where are you? Why aren't you doing stuff? Like,
no.
What's happening?
No. But I was heavily involved in that era. And I was going in and out of the YouTube headquarters and having conversations with them. And I was getting some insight in what they were doing and how they were moving, and, you know, what the plans were for the next 6 months to a year, like what they're looking to do. But part of that was me wanting to be involved and know. And because, again, like it's always felt like a home. But it's gotten so massive, so big. And so it doesn't feel like a place for content creators. It doesn't. I think most people are feeling that today.
Well, it's turned into a network now.
It's its own thing.
Does it feel disposable?
To be honest with you, it's weird when you speak of YouTube and you personify it. Like YouTube doesn't care about the creators. Like who is YouTube? It's like there's a large body of human beings that are running YouTube. It is not run that well in terms of having like specific departments that really focus on the creators well. It's all over the place, and it's no one can make any real strong unilateral moves to help anyone. So all of the complaints that YouTube creators have, like just this week, they announced that they were testing out an algorithm where instead of letting the subscribers get their subscriptions based on upload time, they were going to create an algorithm to show them things that they thought they would more likely want to see in that way. Like they've done with Twitter.
Right.
That is not in the favor of a lot of the content creators that are trying to come up and trying to build, because it makes it so that their subscribers don't even see their content now.
Right.
That is not something that you do for content creators. That is something you do for your business. But I can't be mad. YouTube is a company.
Why not create something like YouTube for yourself, in the sense of like start a whole new thing?
Well, I think
Tube you.
Well, by the way, there are a lot of people that are talking about that. I think that at a certain point you have to start calling it what it is. And I mean, they have a monopoly on, to a degree, on video, user generated content, video distribution. I mean, you can't really compete.
You have to find a distribution. So, you'd have to make a distribution platform, basically.
Yeah. But again, if we go back to the power lies in having an active fan base, active community following of you or your content, right? That's the power, right? If that's the power, then you don't necessarily need YouTube. You just need to make sure that group of people know how to find you. That's why Patreon is blowing up. I think a lot of people
are going to do Patreon the Patreon pages. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You guys should. And by the way, it's giving your biggest fans a place to be more involved.
Yeah, like it's an extra special.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to start mine over and over and over again, and I've been so bad at
it. So you have, what are you on? You're on Twitter?
On Twitter, yeah, I'm on all the things, but I don't really use.
Are you Snapchatting?
No, I don't Snapchat. No.
See, that's what, I don't understand the Snapchat either. Like I don't, like my brother.
Well, it's Instagram stories.
My brother was like.
Yeah, it's Instagram stories.
Snapchat was his, that's what. Blew
that's
him
his
up.
Thing, yeah.
I mean, he got lost on a jet ski.
We sound so old right now,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
No, Allah,
Snapchat is the
honestly,
young one.
Allah is like a 6-year-old woman in a body of a 45-year-old like Muslim man.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's right.
You are. Yeah. You are literally like, you'll be like, oh, I was watching my stories last night. And then
I
you're like,
stories.
Girl, I made this chicken casserole. It was so delicious. Well, someone get me a glass of rosé. Put some ice in it. I mean, you were like a 60-year-old. Yeah, like
I'm a lady who lunches.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, Christine.
I know. I'm just calling it out.
I'm in a 45-year-old body, but you look like a 60-year-old woman. How's that with a child? You are Brigitte Nielsen.
Shut up, Brigitte Nielsen.
She's pregnant. She's 56.
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant at 56. Did you not see that?
No.
Yes, and it's not Flavor Flav's child. Don't worry. It's that Latin guy that she left Flavor Flav for. But she's 56 and pregnant.
I really wanted to say it was Stallone.
No.
I know.
But she looks great, but she's like 6-7 months pregnant. Easy right now.
Jeez.
Oh, you never saw that?
No.
You didn't watch your Wendy Williams this week?
I want to make someone pregnant.
You want to get pregnant?
You do?
I want to make someone pregnant, yeah.
Oh,
well, do you have someone to make pregnant?
Not responsibly. No.
Mm. Oh, you know.
Not responsible.
What does
what do
that
you mean?
I'm single right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you just didn't like your girlfriend. You don't think she's the right one to have your child.
No, not her. Yeah.
Yeah. Not this girl.
Let's switch gears. All right, speaking of that, so how is your love life?
Oh. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty slow right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
You don't do you do any of the bumbling or the
I
are you a Tinder?
You know what's funny? I got denied by Raya because I guess that's not.
You're not celebrity.
Not celebrity.
It's Raya.
You don't know what Raya is?
How would I? I've been married like 8 years.
It's Wendy
like
Williams. if you watch other shows.
R A Y A.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Raya is. You can just go ahead and tell him.
I don't know when I looked into it. Maybe this was years ago. This was like right after my last relationship. Tried to get on there and didn't get on. But so if I go on a Tinder or a Bumble, the amount of times I'll get somebody going, "Hey, aren't you Chester?"
Right.
Chester C.
Yeah. And it's just instantly, I don't want to meet that person.
Yeah, I get
right?
you.
And so it's hard to use those.
I think so too.
But so then you're just going to meet a celebrity who's.
No, I'm not.
Gonna,
well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not.
Raya is just
I'm
celebrities.
That F-list celebrity that just can't use the dating apps, basically. Okay,
real quick, because and it's off. Chester C.
Yeah, S-E-E.
S-E-E. You got where, how, what?
Oh, to go?
I mean, that's not
to
your
find me.
No, how did that name come about?
Oh, I don't know. My parents. That's usually
your last name's C.
Yeah,
it is really C.
Oh yeah, you were wondering if I is it like a stage name?
I thought it was a stage name.
No, it's just my last name.
Oh my god, I've been making fun of that name. When we were doing Inner Icon, I'm like, why would he choose Chester C?
Okay, Alec Led.
But my name has a story.
Well, okay, but you haven't. His might have had a story too. It has
C
a real
is Filipino,
story.
No.
No, my mom's Filipino. It came from my dad's side. I believe it was actually Sai at one point, and then it switched for some weird spy story that I was told. I don't know.
I didn't know that was your real name.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually really difficult to it seems like a very simple name, and then it's really not. So like picture anytime I go to any place where they ask you for your last name, they're about to type it into the computer, like a DMV scenario. So it's always this scenario comes up a lot, right? Airports, everywhere you go, it's like last name, and I always go C, and then we have to have a moment together where they have to figure out if I mean the letter or how to spell, and then I have to go, no, it's S-E-E, and then they do that, and then they look at me, and they want more, because it doesn't really...
And you're like, nope, that's it.
Well, that's like, I told you the story about my brother. No one believed that his first name and his last name were the same.
Khaled.
So when he got...
That's got to be tough, too.
Yeah, so his name is Khaled.
So like, what's your last name? Khaled. First name? Khaled. No, what's your first name?
Khaled.
Yeah.
So, because it's traditional to name in the Islam or Arab culture to name one child, a male, after the last name. Like, on my mom's side, I have Kasim, right? I do.
A fief and a faff.
Well, that's just random.
That's very weird.
So, one time my brother was, we were kids and he was bike riding and jumping into the lake and they were like using a ramp to jump into the lake and the lake was shallow and he shattered his ankle and the firemen and the ambulance came and whatever, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, and the fireman was like, "What's your first name?" He's like, "Khaled." He goes, "What's your last name?" "Khaled." And he's screaming, and he's like, and the fireman looks and he goes, "This is no time to joke, son. Give me your name. We don't have time to play around." He goes, "It's Khaled." It was freaking out. So
yeah.
With my name, like Allah, right?
Uh-huh.
I always forget the other person's name because I'm so busy trying to pronounce my name correctly. So like you could, if I met you for the first time, you'd be like, "Hi, my name is
Chester.
Hi, Allah." And you'd go, "Allah?" Like Allah? I go, "No, Allah. Like Aladdin without the din. Allah."
Yeah.
Alat? No, Allah. A-L-A-A. Not, not like God. And so at that, now at this point, I'm like going,
What's your name?
What's his name again?
Yeah. Like, you know. You just need to concentrate more when you listen to the. By the way, I think I've struggled with this too. Everyone struggles with it. Yeah, I'm calling you out. You got to just listen when they say their name. Yeah, it's a problem because it's a problem I have.
Oh, I'm horrible.
I'm always bad at names. I'm just calling you out. I'm just calling out how I see it.
I have to listen to them. I have to listen.
You have to listen better and not be so concerned about other people knowing your name correctly. They'll get it eventually.
I still love you.
No, you're the one with the issues.
So why do I have to? They're not listening because I have to repeat my name 8 times. So why is it my fault that they can't get my name right?
I don't know, but it just is. I'd like it to be your fault today.
So I'm still curious about this 100-day off the grid kind of thing.
Like, what did you? Like, so, what do you do? Oh, yeah. Wait, did you? A two-part question. A, how did you feel after? And B, was there anything you missed that you were like, oh, I feel like a dick now. So and so had a baby or something.
Did you know,
like,
Roseanne got fired?
Well, this is the end of this is near the end of 2016 or something. Beginning of 2016, beginning of 2017. No, you know, it's actually I thought I was going to do a good job of disconnecting from a lot of the negative stuff that was coming from being a part of it. But the part I wasn't prepared for, if I'm being completely honest, this would be my sort of focus if I did a TED talk.
Oh, yeah.
Was that, you know, it's one thing we all grew, you know, we're all enough, we all grew up, there were no phones, essentially no phones. And that's fine if everybody in your world and environment also does not have a phone. That's the environment we're all playing in. So, but that's not the place that we live in now. Now everybody has a phone. And what I didn't realize, I gotten so acclimated to being connected to, so if you call it subconsciously, connected to my mom and dad, my sister, all of my closest friends, they're always in my pocket, right? So I took that away. And after a little while, I really started to feel it. I felt very lonely. I felt a level of loneliness I'd never felt before. And it was a little dark for me. But I guess I just wasn't really prepared for that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I will say I did take pilot lessons. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to fly. Just, you know, as something to do and to occupy time. And I thought it'd be really interesting to possibly, you know, get a plane and fly across America and travel.
Oh my God. Look at you.
I'm like,
Amelia Earhart.
I wanted to throw up just thinking about, I'm like, what kind of plane? He's like a Cessna. I'm like, you lost your mind? I go, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow and I'm freaking out already.
You'll be fine.
Oh God. That's why you're so amped.
Yes. Yes. I think that's very admirable. I would never do that 100 days. Like,
I think it's amazing. And actually, I would, when I'm on vacation and stuff, I think it's very important. I haven't done 100 days. I think 100 days would be amazing. I would probably never work again, which would be my fear that I would miss out on everything that I was supposed to be doing.
I don't know. One of the big regrets was when I turned my phone on, I realized that it was only going to capture the first 48 hours of it being off. So what if anybody ever texted me in for the next 98, there's no way of knowing. So I don't know if anyone tried to reach out to me or call.
Well, what about emails?
Voicemail too. It does not keep the voicemail once it was off. So
did you make your voicemail? Hi, this is Chester. I'm not checking my
phone. No, because it was such a spur of the moment. I was like, I'm done. And I put it in a box.
Well, what was that breaking moment?
I don't know.
You don't just say, I'm locking my phone in a box. There was a moment that said, what happened?
If I'm being, you know, brutally honest, it was a combination of things, right? I didn't like where I was at that time in my life. And I was getting really frustrated with, like I said, feeling responsible for everybody else's feelings or projects, or just like without even doing anything, no action at all for some reason felt like that was me being a bad person. And I hated that feeling. There was that, but there also was, I was coming out of a relationship. You know, there was a breakup that I was dealing with and I was still mourning. And
she broke up with you?
No, it was very mutual, but it still, you know, it's hard because we had created such a bond and a world together. Mm-hmm. And I think
friends now.
Yeah, we actually are. Yeah, we're actually friends now. We're actually it's really nice. Like, you know, we mourn the relationship, we moved on, and there's nothing odd or weird about it. She's been with somebody now for a while, and I go and I see the dog and take care of the dog sometimes. It's great. Yeah.
That's good.
But you, so you have this like breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you lock the phone up.
Breakdown, breakthrough.
But are you checking emails?
Like, I checked emails. Oh, okay. By the way, another cool thing about this was it really did a good job of filtering out who cared at that level and who didn't. So I would see in my emails, my closest friends, I could have probably called out the first five for sure that was going to do this, but that emailed me to, "Hey man, what's going on? I just want to check in.
I haven't heard from
you.
Yeah.
I don't know where you are." You know, we live in a world right
Should
now
I be
where
calling Dateline.
Yeah. Right. Like what's going exactly. And, right. and you know, cause the truth is most of what we call friends, if you went silent, they would not know and wouldn't even look into it. Like, there's a huge group of people that I know that I call close friends that if I were to do it again, yeah, they wouldn't know. They'd be busy with their lives.
Right.
Oh my God. Just would you not, could be like yeah. dead on a floor somewhere. Yeah. And like, well, nobody
and then
would
on
be.
Like, on like your social platform, where is there like conspiracy theories or like people like fans freaking out?
No. Cause again, I wasn't really doing as much things. I wasn't active as much. And I did put on my Twitter, just on my Twitter, I believe I put, just in the description. So nobody saw. I was like, if you really need to get a hold of me, I've turned my phone off for,
are you validated on the Twitter? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're obsessed with the social media stuff.
Your friend is Jack Dorsey. I don't know why you're not validated.
Verified.
Well, yeah, isn't
gonna,
that a?
I'm he.
Oh, come on. Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying, isn't that like an in right
Jack,
there?
I'm never going to ask you to verify me. Just saying, I will never ask for that. If you want to do it, that's up to you.
Also, your my HQ code is
yeah. Oh, he's got it. I'm sure he's seen it. He knows everything on my Twitter. I don't ever go on the Twitter except to promote the show, pretty much. And me.
And yourself.
And myself. And
well, if you want to know anything about Ms. Cookie, I thought you had some like hard-hitting questions for Ms. Cookie.
Ms. Cracker.
I'm Ms. Cookie.
Oh, Ms. Cookie.
Ms.
Oh, you mean you create... Did you... Were you allowed to vlog during that stuff?
No, we couldn't talk about anything.
You couldn't do anything.
I only bring this up because I thought you. I just want to make sure I don't want to leave you without something.
No, some sort of tea that is
good for you. I don't know.
No, there's no tea. I know the show. I just was shocked to say it, you. When I saw you, it brought back. I called Christine. I go, "You're never gonna fucking believe it." It was on RuPaul's Drag Race, and she's like, "Who?" And I go, Chester C.
We're going to leave off here because that was part one with Chester C. Because we have so much more to talk about next week. So join us next week on Worst Ever Podcast with part two with Chester C. You can find Chester C on all social at Chester C. That's SEE. Worst Ever Podcast at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. And myself, Yo Lakin on all social, as well as Alec Led at Alec Led. Thanks for tuning in, and next week we'll get into Roseanne, Kanye, and all kinds of political stuff with the lovely Chester C. Hear you next week. Thank you.